It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where do you go from there? Well, you go to another impressive individual, and that is someone who is actually in charge of an organization that I'm proud to be a part of. After serving in Afghanistan, I came home, moved out to Long Island after meeting the woman who would become my wife, and while I was there, stopped in VFW Post 1469 in Huntington, New York, ended up joining, becoming a member, and finding out that the VFW did a lot more than I originally thought they did. I thought they just marched in parades, hung out, had a couple beers. It's a lot more to the VFW than that, and we're going to find out a little bit more about what they do and how you get to the highest office in that organization right now as we welcome the Commander-in-Chief of the VFW, Mr. Keith Harmon, to the show. Keith, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Eric. I'm fine. Thank you.
And a happy early Veterans Day to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it, that Veterans Day is always on the 11th. Today is the 10th, but everybody's saying it because, you know, it's Friday.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
It works out for you. So Keith, as I mentioned, is the National Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, elected in July of this year. So you've been in office for about 4 months so far. And before we talk about that, let's talk about Keith Harmon, the active duty military member, because to become a member of the VFW, you got to do some specific things. So tell us a little bit about your service, Keith.
Absolutely. I served in the United States Army from December of 1967 through December of 1969. Served in Vietnam with the Alpha Troop, 2nd of the 17th Air Cavalry, as a crew chief and door gunner on Huey helicopters. Wouldn't trade any of those experiences for anything in the world.
So 2 years serving in the Army.
Correct.
And when you get out, let's think back to that time, 1969. We've talked to quite a few Vietnam veterans. A buddy of mine who served in the Marine Corps, who, crazy story, actually became a stand-up comedian at the age of 67 and has been succeeding in that. Also went to Woodstock on horseback. It's an interesting story. But he talked about the fact that back then, when he got out of the Marine Corps, it was like, well, thank you for your service, and you figure out what you're going to do, because that's not really our problem anymore.
That's pretty much the way it was.
Yeah, so what was transition like for you leaving after those 2 years in the Army?
I didn't really have any bad experiences when I separated, and I just went back to my, I was married when I went into the, when I was drafted into the military.
Okay.
So I went back to my wife and went back to my previous job working in a factory, took 30 days off before I transitioned back into the workforce again, and started raising a family and just went on with life.
Where did you raise your family when you got out?
I lived in, I'm from Ohio, and I live in a little community called Delphus. It's near where they build the Abrams tank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, Jake, our producer of the show, is actually a former Army tanker.
Really?
He was a tanker and a drill sergeant and a public affairs guy. He had a varied career in the Army.
Absolutely, yes.
13 interesting years. Well, we're speaking to an interesting man, Keith Harmon, Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And Keith, when did you become a member of the VFW? For some people, I know it takes a little while to join up for the VFW. For me, it was probably, I don't know, 3 years or so after I got out, 2-3 years after I got out. What was your journey like on coming to the VFW?
It took me a little longer than 3 years. I did not join until 1983, probably would have joined probably in 1980. I had a very persistent brother-in-law. who was a member of the VFW post that I belonged to, and every time that he would see me, he would give me an application, and the next time he'd say, well, you know, do you have that application filled out? And I kept saying no, no, no. Every time I said no, he handed me another application, so I just finally got tired of having that application stuck in my face, and so I said, just give it here, and I filled it out, gave him my DD-214, and wrote him a check, and I joined in 1983.
So in 1983, you joined as just a regular member of the VFW, and then, you know, here we are some, well, I'm trying to think, 30-something years later,
correct,
34 years later, and I'm not very good at math, you know, it's one of my faults, one of my many faults. 30 years later, 30-plus years later, you now sit at the top elected post in the Veterans of Foreign Wars. How did you get to that point? What was that journey like from just regular member to the highest post in the land?
once I joined the organization, my wife told me, she said, well, you don't really have any other outside interests or hobbies. So she said, now you're a member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. You need to go to some meetings and find out what the organization is about. So on occasion, when she talks about me being gone quite frequently, I say, remember who that person was that encouraged me to go to the post and find out what was going on. And the more I found out what was going on, the more I fell in love with the organization. I believe in what they're doing and who they do it for and how they do it. So I got active in our VFW post and served as a post commander, went on through the district level and served through the chairs and became a district commander and moved on through the state level and was a state commander during the 2004-05 year, served on the National Council of Administration during the 2006-08 year. And it just gets in your blood and you just want to continue to serve this great organization.
You know, as I mentioned, a member, full disclosure, a member of the VFW myself, I'm a little bit behind on my dues, so, you know, don't beat me or anything for that. I'll fix that at some point. Good. But, you know, when I found the post near where I moved to on Long Island, you know, fell in love with a beautiful woman and then fell in love with a beautiful VFW post after just kind of swinging in, meeting the guys and finding out that, okay, yeah, they had a great facility there, and there was great camaraderie and having a nice place to be able to go and watch a football game or drink a beer or something like right. that. That was pretty cool. But more cool was when we go to the meetings, the first and third Tuesday of every month, and find out everything that the VFW was doing there. I mean, that we had so many active members of the post doing things in the community, and not just for the veterans, but for the community at large. I mean, the VFW is a huge community organization.
They are.
When did you realize that the VFW was more than just a place for you to go and you know, hang out and tell war stories?
Probably after I had been a member for probably a year or so. And when I initially joined, I had attended, I don't know, four or five meetings and we had election of officers and I was elected as surgeon. I said, you know, I really don't know anything about the organization and I don't think I should hold an office. And everybody at the post said, you know, you don't have to do anything. It's just a title. So I took that position, started attending district meetings, and that's when I realized that, you know, that there was something more to the organization and started finding out what people do, what the VFW posts do within their communities, with the Voice Democracy Patriots Pen,
right.
All the youth programs that we have, sponsoring Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, youth baseball and soccer, football. So it's been a... We do so much for so many, and we touch the lives of veterans and the service members each and every day.
The man that comes to mind when I think about my VFW post and that service to the community is a man named Dominic Feeney, who is a Korean War veteran, a Bronze Star with V for his service in Korea and his actions there, who was so involved in every aspect of the community, going to meetings about elementary school vouchers for families and things that were happening that he didn't have any kids in elementary school. I mean, Dominic was 80 years old at this point, obviously. Well, not obviously, some guys do, but it was just important for him to stay involved in the community. And the VFW was kind of the engine for him to be able to do that, to get people to sit back and listen when they'd hear, hey, he's a VFW member. That was someone at the post level. Is that part of why you wanted to get to the national level? And when did you make that decision that you wanted to be the national commander?
Well, it's always been, you know, I guess the more involved that you become with the organization, you know, you start to think about, you know, being a national commander of the organization. But, you know, there are millions of members of our organization. And you think, you know, we've been in existence for 118 years. While you think you would like to be that national commander, you don't know if it'll ever become a reality. And we were at a conference meeting. It's been, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And two people from my department approached me and said, you know, it has been a long time since Ohio has had a national officer. We think that you might be the right person for that position, and we would love for you to sit down and give us some serious thought and consideration and talk to your family.
Right.
I did that, and my wife said, okay, you know, let's go for it. So here we are today.
And we're speaking with Keith Harmon, Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Vietnam veteran, 67 to 69. He served over there, came home, joined the VFW quite a while later, over a decade later, and in the last 30 years has gotten more and more involved to the point where he's now in the top elected post in the VFW. And you know, they say that being the president of the United States or any organization like that, it ages you, it's stressful, it's rough. You're a third of the way in through your tenure, 2017 to 18, July to July. How has it been so far? Has it been a stressful environment for you, or you've been enjoying it, Keith?
Oh, I've enjoyed it immensely. You get the opportunity to meet so many good VFW people, and not only VFW people, but legislators and you know, and all kinds of people. It's given me the opportunity to travel to places that I probably would never have traveled to before. When I was initially elected as junior vice commander of the organization, I had the opportunity to travel to Belgium and into Germany. And while we were there, I visited both SHAPE and NATO headquarters and four or five military installations in Germany. And at each one of those locations, we received briefings as, you know, the events and what was going on within the world. I have been back to Vietnam this past March. That was an experience in itself. I had no idea, you know, what to expect or how I would react once I got there. But I'm grateful that I did make that trip back. I think I'm a better person for that. While we were there, we were in Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and Beijing, China. I recently just made another foreign trip to England, France, and Italy, and that was an experience in itself. And probably in April or May of next year, I will be going to South Korea.
You've been traveling around a lot, clearly, over the last few years through the VFW and your involvement in it. And, of course, now you've traveled here to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. It's this weird pre-Veterans Day thing on November 10th because it's on a Saturday and they want to, you know, everybody wants to have it on the weekday as well. Why are you here in D.C.? Is there anything that the VFW is taking part in for Veterans Day?
Yes. I flew in Wednesday morning, and Wednesday afternoon we attended a reception and it was the dedication of a MIA POW chair. This sets on the that was quite impressive. Senator Warren from Massachusetts was one of the individuals that was responsible for that. Later on in the day, we were invited by Speaker Ryan and Senator Mitch McConnell to attend a reception. Yesterday, we were at the dedication for the World War One memorial that's going to be constructed. Here today, the Veterans Day activities at the Arlington Cemetery tomorrow and the Vietnam Memorial Wall.
Wow. So a lot going on, obviously, every Veterans Day, but it seems this past year, there has been so much more attention paid from various people. And you mentioned Senator Warren, who's a great example. You know, this is someone who quite a few veterans probably disagree with politically, but then they start hearing, wow, she was one of the people behind that POW MIA chair being set up at the Congressional Visitors Center. It's become, I don't know, it's interesting to me that it's been such a big ticket item for so many people in so many different places and coming from different perspectives. During your time in office, how have you viewed the support that veterans are getting from around the nation, whether it's from politicians like Senator Warren or Senator Ernst, who was on with us earlier today, or the public in general? I mean, what have you seen as you've been able to travel around and visit all these different areas?
There's always room for improvement within the VA healthcare system. But I think overall, I think we're getting a considerable amount of support from the VA and from our congressional leaders as well.
Yeah. Now, VA Secretary Shulkin, of course, is someone who we talk to a lot of veterans on this show. 5 days a week, we're talking to veterans. And the veteran service organizations like the VFW, he seems to have the support of the majority of the veteran community.
Yes, he does.
Never going to say all because we are not a monolith. As you know, you were elected national commander. I'm sure there's some VFW members sitting out there going, how did Keith Harmon get national commander?
Exactly.
That's the way of the world. But when you look at that, when you look at legislation, of course, we've had the issues with funding for the CHOICE program, and it's affecting more and more your generation, the Vietnam yes. veterans. As your generation gets older, there's more medical care that's required, and the Vietnam veterans are part of the largest push behind various aspects of CHOICE and legislation. Looking around at the difficulties that we're having when it comes to funding these programs, when it comes to all of that, what do you think we can and should do moving forward to make sure that our veterans are taken care of?
I think one of the first things we need to do is we need to eliminate sequestration.
That is a huge one.
That has had and still has a devastating effect on today's military. And while the VA is supposed to be exempt, in our actuality, it is not exempt from the effects of sequestration.
Yeah, it's never going to be. And then, you know, when they put in new programs like CHOICE and more people want to take part in it, that's the issue. It's that it's hard to plan exactly how many people are going to want to do something new. And the VA has, difficulty dealing with that. And then the politicians have their different ideas on how to deal with that. And we're kind of left in the middle in a bit of a tug of war politically between, well, we should do it this way. No, we should do it that way. Meanwhile, the veterans who are the ones who actually need the care and the programs, they're just being yanked around and, yes. and seem to have little to no control over what's going to happen with that. But the involvement of the VSOs, like the VFW, the right. American Legion, AMVETS, all these different groups, and working together. That's one of the other things I've seen since we started this show back in June. The VSOs don't have the same membership necessarily. They don't have the same goals necessarily. But when it comes to helping out the veteran community, it seems when there's something that you all agree upon, you are more than willing to work together on
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. 100% correct.
And, you know, looking around, we've had the national commander of the American Legion who said the same thing. How important do you think it is to have that sort of partnership and working together through the VSOs that represent such a large portion of the veteran community?
I think it's extremely important, especially when we go talk to legislators. You know, if you have one group saying, you know, they're after one particular thing, the other group is for, you know, something entirely different. The legislators say, you know, the service organizations can't even decide, you know, what's best for our nation's veterans. So, you know, the very people that we were formed to help are those that end up on the short end of the stick. So, you know, we all need to be on the same page, all the service organizations.
And we're speaking with Keith Harmon, who is the leader of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, one of the largest and oldest and most venerable of the veteran service organizations. Keith, as I mentioned, July at the National Convention, that's when you were elected into office. So you're about a third of the way through your tenure. Let's ask you, how do you think you're doing as National Commander-in-Chief of the VFW? And what are your plans for the next 8 months running the VFW?
We always hope that, you know, we want to, it's my goal to leave the organization just a little bit better than it was when I assumed office. We would like to increase our membership. We would like to, I definitely, that's a priority goal for me, is to put an end to sequestration. And everywhere I go, I speak about that and encourage our members to be contacting legislators to hopefully write a piece of legislation to put that sequestration to bed.
That would be a big thing. And another one that you remembered is membership, which is an issue for all of the VSOs,
right.
where the World War II generation, it's really a numbers game. The World War II generation, there were so many more veterans just came out of because of the size of that conflict, which
yes.
is hard to wrap your head around. The Korean conflict, Korean War, a little bit fewer veterans than in World War II. Vietnam, fewer veterans than in Korea. Desert Storm, fewer veterans than in Vietnam. And now Afghanistan and Iraq, Operation Enduring and Iraqi Freedom, longer, so a larger veteran number. But we haven't seen the same amount of veterans coming from those conflicts as came to the VFW and organizations like it maybe directly after World War II. Although in your case, as you said, over a decade before you got to joining the
right.
VFW, how do you view this issue? Do you think it is an issue where, you know, the VFW's numbers are going to continue to dwindle? Or do you think the veterans who are not joining now maybe just need a little bit more time and then might eventually become VFW members?
I think we need to give them a little more time, but I also believe that, you know, that we as an organization need to do a much better job of promoting ourselves and telling people what it is we do and who we do it for and how we go about doing it as well. You know, we do a lot of phenomenal things within our organization, but for some odd reason, we are very reluctant to shout that from the top of the mountain.
Yeah. So. You know, and there is that perception of the VFW that we've already talked about a little bit where, oh, the VFW, they're the guys who march in the parades
right.
and drink beer and tell war stories down at the post, and that's about it. But there is so much more to it, and there are various ways that the VFW works to get that message out. One, of course, is the VFW's magazine, which, you know, I get in the mail. It's a fantastic read. I always enjoy it as a VFW member, seeing what's going on around the country. But that perception, do you think it's too ingrained in society for us to ever get it out? Or do you think we can, you know, let the reality of the situation take over the message?
I think we can change it, yeah. But I think it's going to take, you know, all of our members to you know, keep pushing what it is we do to change that perception that people have of our organization.
And getting out there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have to be visible. And I can use my own VFW post for an example. You know, we are very lax. We do a lot. We spend probably $35,000, $40,000 a year back into our community.
Right.
But the community's not aware of it because we don't get any publicity. Everybody, you know, they would just assume write a check and stick it in the mail to the recipient and let it go at that, you know.
So, yep.
You know, we don't brag on what it is that we do.
And that kind of goes back oftentimes to the service of those who served boots on the ground in a war zone where the guy I mentioned earlier, Dominic Feeney, Bronze Star recipient, a hero, a
yes.
literal war hero from the Korean War. You wouldn't know any of that when you talked to him unless somebody gave you a bio of him, because that wasn't the type of guy he was. Dom was a pretty, you know, pretty quiet guy when I met him. Eventually, I found out more and more about him. He got to know me a little better. He warmed up and he opened up. He was out there doing so much in the community every day that even I, a fellow VFW member, didn't know about until someone would mention it.
Sure.
Whereas there are other people that are out there doing a lot less great things than what the VFW is doing, but openly publicizing themselves
Absolutely.
And getting
yeah.
out there. And that's where right. the eye goes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
what do we
right.
need to do? Is it a culture change that we need to have?
I think so. Yes. And we just need to do more social media.
Yep.
Advertising and we're starting to do that. So it's just, you know, it's not going to be an easy fix. It's going to take time. But the national leadership and our Kansas City office, we're starting to do exactly that, to change the attitude of people through social media advertising.
We're finishing up on our time here with Keith Harmon, the Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, elected to that office in July, serving until next July at the next national convention. Keith, as we approach Veterans Day tomorrow, a lot of the celebration of it taking place today, what's your message to the veteran community at large and the VFW membership for Veterans Day?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd like to do is just wish the Marine Corps happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, just... be visible. Wear if you're a service member, wear something to recognize your branch of service, and just be proud of what you've accomplished over the many years of service to our nation.
All right, I'm going to throw some bell bottoms on to let okay. people know I was in the Navy, and I'll be walking around there. Now, if people want to find out more about you, more about the VFW, where can they go to find out more information?
You can visit our website at vfw.org. And all the information about our organization and all the programs and great things that we do is available there.
It absolutely is. And you can also find the VFW and several VFW posts on social media, including VFW National HQ. I believe that's their Twitter
right.
handle on
yes.
there. Facebook, plenty of pages. You know, if you are a veteran who's interested in finding a little bit more of that camaraderie that you may have lost since leaving the service and not being involved with any veterans organizations, the VFW is one of those options to you, as long as you meet the membership requirements. And again, to find out what those requirements are, visit vfw.org. We want to thank Keith Harmon, the National Commander of the VFW, for joining us here live in studio on The Morning Briefing, this pre-Veterans Day edition of the show.
Thank you, Eric.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.